Morning, church. The reading this morning is Psalm 107, verses 1 to 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
Thinking of Lee being our youth and children's worker, I remember, as some of you will, I'm sure, when I came here almost 10 years ago, and you invited me as your moderator, and one of my first jobs as moderator was to see Lee come in as our youth worker. And I don't think that was a bad choice, was it? No, I think it's okay. Well, you obviously didn't think so either, because you then asked me to be your senior pastor. So it's okay, we did fine. So thank you, Lee, I didn't get the sack. That's absolutely wonderful. That's great. Now let me sort myself out. We've already heard from Rosie, of course, that today is Trinity Sunday, when we remember the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's something we need to remember and give thanks to God for. Now, we may be, perhaps you didn't tell me an untruth. Help. I think your battery's dead. If you want to make yourself a coffee or something, come back in a day or two. Technology is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Oh, thank you. Andy, I need you here so she can press the button for me.
That one.
Which one?
That one, I think.
That one.
Try it. Or the other one, then.
The other one. I've got it. It's that one. Yeah, thank you. Right. Time for lunch, then. So what was I talking about? I've forgotten now. Yes, church. Trinity Sunday, of course, and many of us are familiar with this picture. It's one that Paul uses a lot when he talks about the Trinity, which is just a good job he's talking about the Trinity when he does show this. And it's a diagram we're all very familiar with when we remember the Trinity, that the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father, Holy Spirit is not the Son, and so on and so forth, but the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, one in three and three in one. And it's something that we just delight in, isn't it? The knowledge of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God as our Father, and the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell among us, as we remembered last week, of course. And we remember that the Holy Spirit comes to us. And one of the things he does, of course, is he comes into our lives and he offers us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he offers us his fruits, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which should be seen in us. That he comes into our lives when we ask Jesus to be our own personal Lord and Savior. We commit our lives to him. He comes and dwells among us, and we live, or should live, desire to live within those fruit of the Spirit seen within our lives. And I trust that as we follow him, we will seek that those fruits are seen in the way that we live. And so the fruit that we're following at the moment, as we've just heard already, is the fruit of goodness. What does it really mean? This thing's doing its own thing now. There we go. What does it mean to live in the fruit of... what is goodness? What does it mean? During last week, we were down the south coast visiting family, and on Thursday night, we were staying with Rose's cousin, and she actually is worship leader at Shoreham Baptist Church, and she decided just to play the piano as we were packing up and going, and she was actually playing the last song we sung, The Goodness of the Lord, and it was wonderful just to hear it being played in a wonderful way and just got me in the mood ready. But of course, we ask, don't we, what is goodness? What does it really mean to live in goodness, to live a life of goodness before God? What does it really mean to have your paperwork in the right order and not to get muddled up? I don't know, right? You wouldn't believe I used to work in an office radio. So the word goodness is often on people's lips. We often hear people say about goodness different phrases like, out of the goodness of your heart, honest to goodness, for goodness sake. Goodness knows what's going to happen. Oh my goodness, thank goodness, goodness gracious me, goodness me, oh my goodness, and possibly many more that you can think of. In fact, even Kellogg's cornflakes tell us that it's full of added goodness. So that's why I'm the fit, healthy 35-year-old that I am. They're laughing at the fit and healthy or the 35, or maybe both. And apparently Dobby's up at the road, they have homegrown goodness. Well, you know, we can't have homegrown goodness, can we? That goodness only comes from God as we worship him. And one of the Psalms that we know very well when it comes to goodness is this one. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And someone once described this as two angels, goodness and mercy, and they're just walking with me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy, they just follow me along the road. Isn't that a great thought? Yes, okay. And it's really good to know wherever you are, goodness and mercy follows us. I was telling a friend of mine once, we were driving from a conference and in my car, and we were driving along, so I was telling him about the angels just watching over the car and with us. And just a little while after I said that, we were going around the roundabout, and I had the right of way. I do know the highway code, and so I was going around but the person on my left didn't, and this great big van suddenly approached us and got a bit close for comfort, and my foot went on the accelerator and we got out the way, to which my friend said, that clipped your angel's wing a bit, didn't it? These angels are with me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But we have to ask, really, what is goodness? What does it mean? So we're going to be going through this asking three questions. The first question is, why is this thing not working? Right, there we go. We ask three questions. And the first is, what is goodness? Then we're going to think, how is goodness seen in God? How is God good? I just need to have a drink. Oh, that was good. What is goodness? How is God good? How do we see goodness in the life of God? And the third thing we'll be looking at, there we go, is how can we display goodness in our lives? If God is good and good to us, how can we display goodness to others in the way we live? Going to confuse me now with another gadget. Oh, that's it. I can see that one. Thank you very much. So those are the three things we'll be thinking. What is goodness? What does it really mean? How is God good? How do we see goodness in God? How is he good to us? And therefore, how can we display goodness? You see, if God is good and living within us, we should be displaying his goodness in every day of our life. A big challenge to us. So what is goodness? Well, the dictionary definition of goodness says this: the quality of being morally good or virtuous. Sounds good. A belief in the basic goodness of mankind. Well, that's what the dictionary tells us. But what about the Bible? What does the Bible have to say about goodness? Well, it uses a lovely word, which is agathosunai. And it talks really about, well, we're going to be looking at what it really means, but about an inner goodness, a goodness that only comes from God. We also see that goodness in that word talks about being upright, being an upright, morally good person. It talks about obedience. We'll just move that one on very quickly, shall we? Obedience, being obedient. Being obedient is part of goodness, and being virtuous, having high moral standards. That's what the word means to each of us who follow him. William Barclay describes goodness in this way: virtue equipped at every point, being virtuous, having that high moral standards of God, being seen in every area of our life. It means being good in good times. It means acting in God's goodness at all times, even when a big van comes at you on a roundabout and your first thoughts are not very godly. You should think to yourself, good thoughts towards that driver. We have to live in challenge. Lord, bless that driver. And please teach him the highway code. But goodness means something that happens in our life all along. Goodness is more than just trying to do our best. Goodness is about following God. And it's different from other kinds of words that we see in the fruit. We see that we are to be kind, which means to put on kindness, a sweetness of nature. We see later that we have to have an act of gentleness as part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which means to be mild and moderate. But what does goodness mean? It means to be virtuous, moral upright, being on mark at all the time. In Mark 10:18, Jesus asked a question of those who were challenging him, and he said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." And that's the goodness that we need to have in our life, a character of goodness being lived out in everything that we do. Goodness is something we can't just manufacture ourselves. There's a story about the son of a pastor. And this young son passed his driving test. And he was very pleased, and he came to his dad and said, "Dad, can I borrow your car now I've passed my driving test?" And his dad said, "Well, I'll make a deal with you." He said, "You need to work harder on your studies so as you can go to the university of your choice. So I want you to study more. I'm also concerned about your spiritual development, so I want you to read the Bible more. And the third thing is this: get your hair cut. It's far too long." Only dads can say that sort of thing. So a little while later, son returned. He said, "Right, Dad, about that thing, can I borrow your car? I've done everything you've asked me to." And his father said to him, "Well, I must admit, you've done well in your studies. You're doing excellent, and thank you for doing that. And I've also seen you reading your Bible, and that's great. And you're doing better at church. That's wonderful. Thank you for that." So the son said, "Well, can I drive the car then?" He said, "But you haven't cut your hair." "Well, I've been thinking about that," says his son, who's been studying the Bible. He said, "Samson had long hair. Noah had long hair. Moses had long hair. Even Jesus had long hair." "Yes," replied his dad, "and they walked everywhere." You see, we can't of ourselves manufacture goodness. Goodness is something that is intrinsic from God. It's something part of that fruit that we grow in our life. And we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. Of course, the gift of the Spirit is those wonderful gifts like word of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, and all those lovely things. You see, gifts are given. And God, in his own mercy, grace, and love, will give you one of those gifts as he desires. Gifts are given, as Nick knows, as he's had his birthday. And he knows all about gifts. I, too, have had a recent birthday, and both of our birthdays end with a zero. So that's good. You see, I'm 40 and he's 60. And that's a wonderful thing to celebrate. And we've enjoyed gifts, but gifts are given. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are given. But fruit grows. Fruit is something that grows in our life. Goodness needs to be part of us, and it's part of the fruit singular. So we can't pick which fruit we have because it's fruit. I mean, imagine you bought an orange at the supermarket, you got it home, you peeled it, ready to eat it, and there was a segment missing. You'd go back and say, "Look, someone's been eating this orange, there's a segment missing." And he says, "Well, why worry? You've got 8 segments, isn't that enough for you?" You wouldn't be happy. One of the segments of the Holy Spirit's fruit is goodness. So how can we see that goodness in God? How, in which way, is God good? We often say, don't we, God is good all the time, and
God is good.
Well, thank you both. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Now, we had that reading from Psalm 107. We had the first 9 verses. I was asked which verses I want to read, or the whole psalm. Now, I thought about the whole psalm because it needs to be read in context. But it does have 43 verses. And I thought I'd be kind to you this morning, so we had the first 9. But it's actually, for those of you who are in a life group, it's in the notes. And you'll be looking at Psalm 107. And one of the lovely passages there comes in verse 29. He stilled the storm to a whisper, the waves of the sea hushed. What a wonderful example of God's goodness to us. There are other verses in there too that shows us the goodness of God. He delivered them. He led them. He satisfied them, he healed them, and on it goes. And one of the things you might want to do or might not want to do is to look at all the ways that God is good to us in those verses. God indeed is a good God. And other psalms talk about the goodness of God. So do other scriptures. We can see them there. In 2 Chronicles 6:41, may your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, they reveled in your great goodness. And in Psalm 116, it says, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? 3 things there about God's goodness and rejoicing in his goodness, in his great goodness, and wondering what we can return to God for his great goodness to us. And then we go to a chapter in 2 Peter, chapter 2:1, verse 3, his own glory and goodness, which needs to live in our lives. So how is God good in those ways that I mentioned in that Psalm 107? He delivered them, he healed them, he spoke to them. There are so many ways in that psalm that we can see the goodness of God. And when we look into our own lives, how many times has God been good? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know he's been good to you. Actually, if you don't, you can look back and see God has been good to you by his grace and mercy anyway. God is good. How is God good in so many ways? And we've sung so many of those in our worship time this morning about him, Jesus coming down to die for us. That's a good God. Jesus raising so that we might raise and be with him. That's a good God. God is good in so many ways. And we ask in times of challenge, trouble, and fear, how is God good? Well, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you in the good times only, all the days of your life. And you don't always know that he's there. You don't always know that he's with you. You don't always know his presence. Many months ago, I'm at that age when during the night I have to make a little trip. And so I did on this one night, and just after me, Rosie had the same trip. Now, I tend to go in the dark with just a torch. And Rosie came and didn't know I was up. I opened the door, she approached it, and there was great trauma happening as she kind of said something like, oh, nice to see you, my darling husband. In the language of love, which is something like, ah! She didn't realize I was with her. She didn't know my presence. How often do we not recognize the presence of God? When we look back and we say, yes, he was with me. Didn't think he was. Didn't feel him, didn't see him, didn't know him. But yes, he was with me. He kept me safe. He was with me through that trial. It could have been so much worse. He was with me. So that brings us on to our last question. Then how should we show God's goodness running through our lives as the fruit of the Holy Spirit? William Tyndale once said this, God's goodness is the root of all goodness. And our goodness, if we have any, springs out of his goodness. And we need to remember that, don't we? God's goodness is the root of all goodness, and our goodness, if we have any, springs out of his goodness. God's goodness is the root of all goodness. We can't show God's goodness by our own works. We can't try our own way. We can't walk in a way that we think would be good. It's only God's goodness. People see goodness in the way that we live because all goodness comes from him. We are looking at that word I mentioned earlier, agathosunai. And that actual word only appears three other times in the Bible. And these are those. In Romans 15:14, Paul says, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. He's convinced by the way people act that they are full of goodness, goodness that comes only from God. In Ephesians 5, chapter 9, it says, For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, goodness that can only come from God. And 2 Thessalonians 1:11, it says this, we constantly pray for you. And this is a prayer that was being prayed. We constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for what? Riches, wealth, blessing, joy? No, your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. What does he say? That God may, by his power, bring to fruition your every desire for goodness. That's something we should desire. All the segments of the fruit of the Holy Spirit desire goodness. Not just to be good, but to have the goodness of God just radiating from our lives. You see, many other fruits, we can try and be kind, but true goodness, that goodness that comes from God, that moral standing in him has to be bred within us by his fruit. In Matthew chapter 19, people were coming to Jesus, and Jesus responded, as we listen to the account of this young rich ruler that came to him. And it says, he who called you, we'll just move on, shall we? Here we are, Matthew 19. And the man said to Jesus, what must I do to gain eternal life? What must I do? You see, the guy reckoned he could do something to gain eternal life. He reckoned he could be good in his own strength, that he could attain to a form of moral goodness that would please God. What can I do, he asked, to gain eternal life? What can you do? What goodness can you do of your own? Absolutely nothing. But in response to that man's question, Jesus comes up with the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are interesting. The first four have to do with our relationship with God. And he didn't mention these to the rich man. He didn't speak about these because to get to the real nub, this is where it starts. That you shall have no other gods besides me. That you will have no idols. That you won't misuse his name because he's your God. You love him. That you remember a Sabbath day with him. Then these are the ones that Jesus challenged him. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. And the guy said to him, he said, well, that's absolutely great. I've kept all of those. I can keep those six commandments. I can manage those. And Jesus said, that's great. Well, go and sell your property and give things away. Goodness failed him. At that point, he went away sad. I read a quote from all places. It's from the Grand Canyon University. There we go. I tried to go to high places. I've been up Blackpool Tower. And the quote says this, when we act out of true goodness of the heart and reflect the fruit of the Spirit, we are obedient to God's commands and seek the benefit of others. Our actions come from a place of selflessness and we place the needs of others before our own. The act of goodness shown by God in our lives as we worship and serve him. So as we bring this thing to a bit of a close, I want us to think of another example. We think of the Good Samaritan. And this is a story about God's goodness. It highlights three areas. This is a painting by George Frederick Watts. But there are three things that stand out to me in this parable, in this story, in this part. First thing is there was compassion. You see, we know that the priest and Levite walked by, but the Samaritan, the person who was hated by all, showed love, compassion. He went to this man. Then we see that there was consideration, a careful thought. He planned to make sure that the man was looked after, and he said to the innkeeper, "Do what's necessary. I will come back and forget the expense. I will pay it all." And the innkeeper knew this was a man he could trust, a man in whom goodness could be seen. Because there was, thirdly, a collaboration. He got involved with this. He didn't walk away, and God's goodness was seen for all around. So how can these things be seen in our lives? What can we do to show that goodness of God? How can that be seen in our lives? Through compassion. How compassionate are we? How can it be seen by the things we consider? Do we consider others' needs before our own? How can it be seen in collaboration with the Spirit and with other people so that our acts reflect God and serve others beyond ourselves? Excuse me. And how do we serve God? How do we recall his goodness in our lives to others? Well, many ways. I've just thought of a few. Answered prayer, the truth and the power of God's word, provision, acts of kindness, forgiveness, the cross, his love, so many. We see his example to us. So what about our example to others? Well, of course, we have our text for the year. It shows something of the fruit of goodness. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And Jesus just personifies goodness. Everything about him is good. Everything about him shows the love of God in a powerful way. And we also read in Matthew 7:17, every good tree bears good fruit. We need to also let our light so shine that people see the goodness of God in our lives. So what about us? Goodness is something that we can see God working in many ways. Goodness is something about exhorting and rebuking. You can show goodness to someone who's been good and someone who's doing great, and you show goodness in a wonderful way, but there is such a thing as tough love. And goodness sometimes comes in waving a bit of a stick with an angry sort of face, but it's to bring transformation in our lives, to live more like him. So he calls us to live this life of goodness, to serve and to worship him. Not goodness made of ourselves, not goodness because we are trying hard to do the right thing, but goodness which is brought about only by the fruit of the Holy Spirit dwelling within our lives. Let's be quiet a moment. Father, we thank you that you are indeed a good God. Everything you do is good. You do it out of goodness and love. And so often we degenerate that word of goodness. We push it down and almost think that's not relevant. We like some of your fruit. We like to know the fruit of love, joy and peace and all these wonderful great things. Patience is a bit of a challenge. But to live your true goodness, that moral goodness that should be seen in our lives when sometimes it's a challenge. Help us, Lord, to face that challenge and to live a life that shows your goodness in all we do, we pray. Amen.